now. Can I just get Jenny to pick up on something? A few things that you've said. I think there's a danger, Jenny, and this is one of my concerns when I'm in the against euthanasia campaign camp that Jill so obviously is in. I worry that there's a danger that we write off certain people in society, whether it's the elderly, whether it's people in Jill's position, that we say, well, look what's happened to Jill. Why on earth would she want to carry on living? Shouldn't we always be talking about the right to live rather than the right to die?
I think certainly we should support everybody who wants to choose to live. And there shouldn't be any negative attitudes bearing upon people to make them feel that their life isn't worth living. But it's important to say, actually, that had Lord Joffe's bill been in place, Jill wouldn't have received assistance to end her life when she wanted to. This bill is about terminal illness. Jill, I imagine, wasn't terminally ill at that stage. This bill covers people who have only an estimated 6 months remaining. What changing
the law? Can I just pick you up on that?
What changing the law would do is, by removing this threat of life imprisonment if anybody helps someone to end their life, no matter what the circumstances are, it would free patients to talk to their doctors openly about their fears. And what having a change in the law would have enabled Jill to do at that time is to go to her doctor to say, this is what I'm feeling, these are my concerns, this is what I'm considering. The doctor could have actually helped Jill then achieve some of the options which she now has, thankfully, taken up.
The business of being terminally ill, you said it's an estimated 6 months. When we start defining terminal, that's so difficult, isn't it? Because we're always asking doctors to make what after all, are unreliable predictions. How do we know if somebody has 6 months to live? It's always difficult, isn't it?
Certainly, there's an element of uncertainty there. But what doctors do say is the closer you get to a patient's end of life, particularly with something like cancer, which is what affects most people requesting assistance to die in countries where it is legal, it becomes much more easy to predict how long they have remaining. I think you've got to also consider the issue of suffering unbearably. In the film, the lawyer was shown to have a degenerative condition, and she was shown to be scared. And at that
point, can't give away too many secrets about the movie, though.
I'll try and avoid doing that.
Because that's what I always do. I give away the ending. That's my big mistake.
At that point, she thought about it too. But actually, that's a very natural reaction when you're facing that situation. What changing the law would do is give people the comfort of knowing that the option is there in case it becomes too bad. It actually is a life-prolonging measure, because it enables people to feel that they don't have to take desperate action or precipitative action before, and quite possibly it might never happen, that they actually really want to end their life.
Right, Jenny Saunders is here from the Voluntary Euthanasia Society. Dr. Jim McDonald is from the Catholic organisation Cygnus. Karen Krasanovich is here as well and is strangely silent. Karen, can't keep us.
Well, I'm listening for once in my life.
And I've got a live audience as well, who I know will have a lot to say. You are still alive, aren't you? Yeah, it's jolly good. And Sandra from Stanmore, standing by on the phone to talk to me in just a second as well. Lots of thoughts, lots of views. If you've just turned on in the middle of this, we're live from the Everyman Cinema Club in Hampstead, talking about the new movie, The Sea Inside, in which a man, a paraplegic, decides that he wants to end his own life. We'll talk more after the latest news back at our studios in West London with Russell Hookey next.